In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the first Sunday of Great Lent. We call it the Sunday of Orthodoxy, or the Sunday of the Resurrection, the commemoration of the resurrection, of the restoration of the icons. And anytime we talk about icons, we speak about the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the unknowable God who became knowable. Before his incarnation, Jesus Christ was completely invisible, only spiritual. But although he was equal to the Father, he chose to become man and now is a human being like us, as well as being God. And there are great implications to this. This is the greatest thing that ever happened in the universe, the greatest miracle, and it was necessary for our salvation. Now, this Sunday speaks about the incarnation, and especially about the nature, the two natures of Jesus Christ. He is God and he is man. And what it means, why is it important that he's God and man? If he's only God, we're not saved. If he's only man, well, then he's just a man. So it's very important to understand. I think everybody should have a Lenten Triodion and they should read it. Everybody should have one because it's an incredible book. I probably read the Lenten Triodion from cover to cover, 20 times, and I think you should read it too. So I'm going to just read you one or two of the hymns from tonight, and we'll talk about them a little bit. Truly, they're wonderfully poetic, but they're also deeply theological. So this is from the Vesper service we just completed. Thou who art uncircumscribed, O Master, in thy divine nature, was pleased in the last times to take flesh, and to be circumscribed, and in assuming flesh, thou hast taken on thyself all its distinctive properties. Therefore, we depict the likeness of thine outward form, venerating it with an honor that is relative. So we are exalted to the love of thee, and following the holy traditions handed down by the apostles, from thine icon we receive the grace of healing. Now, uncircumscribed is a fancy word to basically mean limitless. God is the only uncircumscribed being. Everything else, being created by God, has limits. So he, Jesus Christ, was and is uncircumscribed in his divinity, but he chose to be circumscribed, be limited, by being a man. Because, of course, we're limited. I mean, we can't immediately go to Georgia, for instance. We would have to get in a car, get in a plane. We can't be in two places at once. We don't know all things, etc., etc. And we also die. So he became circumscribed for us. And what did he do when he became circumscribed? In assuming our flesh, he took on all of its distinctive properties. So not only did he have five fingers on each hand and five toes on each foot, etc., etc., two eyes, a nose, two ears, all the things that humans have, those properties. He also had the property that human flesh dies. He chose to die. He could have continued living if he chose to, but he chose to allow his human flesh to die because that's naturally what human flesh did after the fall. But the difference between him, his flesh dying and our flesh is that our flesh dies because of sin. Of course, he has no sin, so he died. And the devil thought that he won, but he went down as a sinless man, as the scripture says, free among the dead, because he was free, right? He was dead, but he was free to be not dead anytime he wanted to be. And so he broke the bars of Hades and made it possible for us indeed to have eternal life. So this is very critical. This is a critical core dogma of our faith, that Jesus Christ, being uncircumscribed, became circumscribed, and in so doing took on all of our attributes. Of course, St. Paul says there's one that he didn't do. That is, he didn't sin, right? He was tempted like we are, but he never sinned. And he, dying the death that human flesh dies, went down to Hades and now makes human flesh able to be alive. And the reason why we depict him in icons is because we can. Because he became a man, and you can make a picture of a man. You can draw a man. Nowadays, we can take photos of men. It is not possible to take a photo or draw a picture even, or even imagine what God the Father looks like or the Holy Spirit. There is no representation for them. It cannot exist. But Jesus Christ, choosing to become man, can be pictured. And so every time you look at an icon, even if it's not an icon of Christ, it is the core dogma is that Jesus Christ became man, taking on all of our attributes save sin. Now, why do I say even if it's not of Christ? Because when you see icons, you see the nimbus or the halo. And the halo is always attached to the body, by the way. In the West, it's not. They have this little donut floating over the head. And that's actually heretical. That idea is a very bad idea. Man can become deified by believing in God and struggling to follow his commandments and with God's grace helping him. And then, if we are deified, that is, if we become like God, the light of God, the uncreated light of God, suffuses throughout us and flows through us. And so that nimbus, that halo, is the uncreated light of God. It's not hanging up in the air. It's not shining upon us. It's shining through us and originated in us, not of our own abilities. But because we are the temples of the Holy Spirit, God abides within us if we believe, then the light of God suffuses all of our flesh, purifies all of our flesh, and shines out. Of course, we can't see that light right now because of our sins, but that doesn't mean it's not happening. When we look at an icon, like for instance of St. Penteleimon there, the nimbus is very visible, and that's why is the nimbus there? Well, because he was deified. And how can he be deified? Well, because Jesus Christ became man and made it possible for him to be deified. So every single icon is depicting this deification. That is the good guys that are in the icon. The bad guys, they don't have nimbuses, right? Maybe it's nimbai, I'm not sure. Maybe it is, I don't know. But if you see those who are sinners in icons, like over there we see the martyrs of Zografu, and there's all kinds of soldiers there that are killing them. They don't have nimbuses, but the ones who are being killed, they have them. And that's a reminder of what God has done for us. I'll tell you one more. We venerate thy holy icon, loving Lord, asking thee to pardon our transgressions, Christ our God. For thou of thine own will was pleased in the flesh to ascend the cross, so as deliver from the bondage of the enemy those whom thou hast fashioned. Therefore in thanksgiving we cry aloud to thee. Thou hast filled all things with joy, O our Savior, when thou hast come to save the world. Brother Nicholas and I would say this every single time we do our entrance prayers, because this is one of the entrance prayers. We know it in a different translation. And it has a very important core dogma, doctrine, that we should understand. Jesus Christ came to save us from bondage of the enemy. Now, that idea, although it's present, is not emphasized in the West. In the West, Jesus Christ came so that we would be forgiven. He made a sacrifice for us that his Father accepted so that we would be forgiven. The East knows of no such thing. Jesus Christ died because flesh dies. And then he made that flesh able to come alive, his own flesh, and now our flesh when we enter into the church through baptism and then struggle. And so he came to deliver us from bondage, because that's what death is. Death is bondage. It's bondage to sin, because with sin comes death, and that is the inability to be in the presence of God. Not because God is busy punishing us, but because we're not capable of being in his presence because of our sins. I think every single one of us has had a situation where we did something bad, and either our parents or perhaps a friend or perhaps an uncle or an aunt or a grandmother, they didn't know about it, but we knew about it. They come into the room. We don't feel that comfortable with them in the room because we did something bad. We need to tell them we did something bad. I remember when I was a boy, I was very wild as a pitcher. I could throw the ball very hard, but it really kind of went who knows where. And I was playing with a friend, and I was told not to play in the backyard because there was a window that was almost ground level, and you know, I probably would break it if we played in the backyard. Well, I did. I threw the ball. He missed it because it was thrown wild, and it broke the window. I didn't tell anybody. Later that day, I don't know where I was or what I was doing, but my mother knew. She just knew because I was skulking around, because I didn't want to be around her, because I'd broken the window. And then, of course, when I said I broke the window, it's not like I got punished or anything. They just said, stop playing in the backyard. But I felt guilty. I didn't want to be in her presence. That's what happens to us, except multiply that times a zillion because of so many sins that we have. Jesus Christ came to deliver us from that bondage, deliver us from that shame, not merely to have us be forgiven. Perhaps not too many of you, perhaps some of you have known drug addicts. I know some in the room have had. And oftentimes families, they stick with their brother or their sister or their son or their daughter that's a drug addict. They take them back in and they take them to rehab and they get them out of jail and all those sorts of things. A lot of times drug addicts don't come from homes where they've been abandoned. But that drug addict feels deeply ashamed until they lose their shame. And when they're helped by their parents or their friend or their brother or their sister, they're forgiven. But they still feel deeply ashamed. So just being forgiven their sin, their drug addiction, the fact that they stole money or they crashed a car or whatever, is not enough. What we need is we need to be delivered from that sin, delivered from that bondage. And that's what Jesus Christ came to do. And if you look carefully, this kind of thing is all over our services. I'll read it again because it's just so spectacular to me. It just jumps out when I read it. Of thine own will, thou was pleased in the flesh to ascend the cross so as deliver from bondage of the enemy those whom thou hadst fashioned. What a beautiful thought. That should inspire us. Jesus Christ came not just to have us be forgiven, but to be delivered from bondage. So hopefully, maybe one of you is going to go and buy this book, buy the Lenten Triodion. If I thought people would buy it, I'd stock it in our bookstore, but probably if I bought 12, it'd be 11 after 10 years of everything. You should all have one. Read it. It's really remarkable. This is just a little tiny taste of today. And I didn't even talk to you about the canon, because after all, we have to get on with it. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages.